Good morning. As y'all can probably tell by my voice, and y'all also see it in my face, if I start doing this, I'm just trying to get my ears to pop. I swear I'm not on drugs. I'm with Tommy. I need to be, but I swear I'm not on drugs. I'm trying to make it through this morning. And man, tell me something. Why as human beings do we have to make life more difficult? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Why can we not leave the clock alone? Can somebody help me here? I started a list a long time ago. And it's just one of these things. Scotty does these stupid things. If y'all were to climb up here in this brain of mine, you wouldn't get lost. There's not much up there. But I do crazy things. I make lists. I make lists of different things. One of the lists that I make is, it's entitled, Foolish Things Humans Do to Make Life More Difficult Than It Already Is. This morning, at 4 o'clock, I added daylight savings time to it. I do not understand why we do this. I don't understand why we even have snooze buttons. Y'all ever figured that one out? Why do we really have snooze buttons? That is the biggest deception. I don't understand. Now, this is just for my household and even here at the church. I don't understand why we don't store extra toilet paper in the bathroom. Why is it that we store it in closets that are not close to the bathroom? Can somebody help me with that? I don't understand that. I don't understand why we don't dress for the weather. And I noticed this one time. I noticed a young lady. And I know why the young lady was doing it, because, you know, she was out on a date and she didn't bring a jacket and she wanted to see how good of a young man he was going to be. But do you know what that young lady does? She puts that man in a very compromising situation to whether he's got to choose be chivalrous or hypothermia. I mean, seriously, why in the world do we do some of these things? I learned this one from postmarital counseling. Notice I said postmarital counseling. Men, why do you make your life more difficult by not deleting your ex's phone numbers from your phone? Help me with that one. I've seen that one before. Let's go with another one. Oh, I'm not going to look at anybody on this one. Why do we wait to fill up with gas until the light is already on red and we have 2 miles left to get to the gas station? Not looking at anybody. This one was an experience of mine. Why do we wait to do laundry until we run out of underwear? That's a good one. Oh, here's another good one from postmarital. Postmarital gives you a lot of things. Men, why do we try to figure out why our wives are mad at us? Anybody ever tried? I mean, think about that. Young men, I want you to understand something. Your wives are going to be mad at you from time to time. There's a good chance you're never going to figure out why. We're not really sure what goes on. So I came up with this advice for postmarital counseling. When your wife is mad at you, go and buy yourself a new golf club, fishing pole, gun, or power tool. She will still be mad at you, but at least you will have a new golf club, fishing pole, gun, or power tool. You're never going to figure it out. But one thing that I've always had a hard time figuring out, and this is even for myself, and this is what we're going into today. Why is it that we believe that we are so unworthy of love? This is one that Scotty battles with in a lot of ways. And I want you to understand something. When I'm talking about love, I'm not talking about grace. I'm not talking about mercy. Yes, those are parts of love. But love is completely separate from those. We see those brought together through the Son of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But love is something that took place before grace and mercy even come. And love is not something we earn. It's not something that we work for. It's not something that we deserve. Love is simply what we are. And when we're talking about the love of God, it's one of those things that is hard for us to wrap our minds around. Romans 8:15 says this, you did not receive a spirit that makes us slaves again to fear. But you received a spirit of sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba meaning daddy, meaning intimate father in which you have a lot of connection with. And as we've been going through 1 John, we've been hitting glances on some of these topics. And today we're really going to dig into love. But I know since we've lost an hour, I've got to be shorter than normal. I'm going to try. I am not promising. I'm going to try to be shorter than normal. But I'm also going to try to help us all understand what God's love really is all about. The fact that he calls us his sons ought to bring, or his daughters, ought to bring some amount of pride to us. Y'all remember when you were in school and you had those daddy comparison contests? My daddy can whip your daddy, my daddy can throw a rock feather in your daddy. A lot of times, and thought about this earlier, me growing up without a daddy, I wish I would have said, my mama's more hormonal right now and she can whip all your daddy's butts. It didn't come to my mind right then. But it's the truth. Not only can she whip their butts, she can do laundry and do the dishes after that as well. But there should be a sense of pride that comes about with this, knowing that God calls those who believe in his son, Jesus Christ, his sons and his daughters. Because that brings in an identity to us that many of us struggle with really taking hold of. You see, we base God's love on what we can do for him. But what we're going to read today shows us that it has nothing to do with us. It's actually what he's extended to us. This morning, I'm going to have to ask for a little bit more grace. Guess what? I've got too many Bibles that look like this, and I grabbed the wrong translation. So what's going to be on the screen is totally different from what's going to be read. But in 1 John chapter 3, we're going to read the first 9 verses. Peggy's going to love this because this is her favorite version. But here's how it goes. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to what the law, contrary to the law of God. And we know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, or practicing sin, as some of your translations will say, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep from sinning because they are children of God. Y'all pray with me. Father, while this little piece of scripture is one that I've scratched my head over many a times, I'm so thankful for what this word has for each of us this morning. The reality is this, Lord. We can't understand how great your love is for us because a lot of times we can't even understand ourselves. But Father, I'm thankful that you did not limit your love on our understanding, on our good behavior, or on how deserving we were of it. The truth is, Lord, none of us deserve your grace. None of us deserve your mercy. But the love that you had for us was so strong that you weren't willing to withhold any of it from us. So this morning, Lord, I just pray that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart and mind to understand what it is that your word has for us this morning. This morning, Lord, I pray for a voice, not my voice, but your voice to be heard in the hearts of every man, woman, and child that is here this morning. But Father, I also pray that you would help us to understand this, because I really believe, Lord, this keeps us from fully embracing not only how much you love us, but how much we should love others as well. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all that's here. Bless this word. Bless this sermon. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When it comes to seeing how great God's love is for us, we really make this a lot harder than what it is. Because he says right there at the beginning, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. He is trying to get us to understand that this is a very, very simple thing, and we make it harder than what it should be. And he goes on to say, he showed this by making you children. Children. So to understand God's love for us, I'm going to ask us to do something for all you men. This is going to be easy. All you got to do is simplify your minds, men. We're good at this. We're good at simplifying our minds. But at the same time, I want you to think the way you thought when you were a child. Because sometimes I think we overthink things. I think we overdo things. And in this scripture, I think that Paul or John is trying to show us a couple of things through this word and what it means to embrace the love of God. When somebody loves you as much as you, as they love, as much as God loves you, there is an admiration that comes about for these individuals. And the more you hang around these people, the more you start to kind of become like them. The truth of this can be seen in parents and children. Regardless of what you want, how many teenagers would be honest with me? You want to be like your mom and dad. Raise your hand. Oh, there's a couple. Holy cow. Y'all want me? Let me take a picture of this. Look, y'all, hold them up high. Hold them up high. So let me go ahead and break your, I got that, evidence. evidence. So, regardless of what you want to happen, you're going to become like your parents. Over the last couple of weeks, I've got to see my boys become more like me every day, and it really is starting to scare me. Okay, Dalton acts just like me in a lot of ways. Dalton understands that D's get the degrees, okay? He understands that there's only so much that he's got to do. Yep. Y'all don't even want to know what he said. I'll deal with him later. No. But he understands that he's only going to do what he's got to do to get by, okay? I was the same way. I'm not saying the boy's smart. The boy can figure out math in his head just like his daddy, which is proof that it's not a matter of nature. It is a matter of nurture. But what's scary to me is while Dalton acts like me, Colton is starting to talk like me a lot. And it's making me really consider what I say. This week we started practicing baseball. And I realized that I've said the same lines way too many times because there was one kid that was going at it. And I told him, I said, listen, you can either do it right once or you can do it wrong. And then I told the little boy, I said, If you will go home and practice this for 15 minutes a day, at the end of the year, you will be
90%
better than. This is starting to get scary. And the other day when this is going on, I'm sitting there thinking, what else have they heard me say? You know where I'm going? You know where I'm going? When I'm in the car and I get mad at somebody, I'll say, what do I say when I get mad at somebody? What? Say it loud. I'll just scream, you need Jesus. Screaming at the top of my lungs. And it's scary. It's scary, but we got to understand, this is part of the way that God has grafted in us his DNA. Because you know what? God has created us to be like him. First, he created us in the what? Image of God. Second, he put what on our hearts? His word. See, everything about us has been grafted to be like the Father. For some people, you could say it's almost like we've been programmed. And you know, programming is not a bad thing. Programming's not a bad thing at all, especially when we look at it from the standpoint of what is being said here in the scripture. Look what he says there in verse 2. He says, dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute, because we got to be cautious with this. God has designed us to be like him. Has he not? His word tells us time and time again that as he is holy, we too should be. As we follow or as we live our lives, we should imitate Christ. And all these things have been told to us time and time again because we've got to get back to the thing that this is how we've been programmed to be. Listen to me. You becoming like your parents is how God designed you to be. He's put it in your DNA. And I know we got to be cautious on this because not only do the good traits of our parenting flow over, sometimes the bad traits flow over as well. Listen to me, husbands, fathers, uncles, grandfathers, teachers, coaches, I want to ask you a question. Are you worth imitating? Are you worth imitating? Because that is what God desires for us. He desires us to imitate Christ, and he desires others to imitate Christ just as we imitate Christ. That's what Paul was saying when he said, when he told the people of Romans this, you imitate me as I imitate Christ. Sorry, Corinthians, my head's a little fuzzy. This is the desire for God on our life. And why? Do you know why God desires for us to be like this? Because this is how much he loves us. He sees us in our imperfection. He sees us in our nastiness. He sees us in our wickedness. And he sees us for what he designed us to be. He loves you. And I want you to take this one with you. He loves you too much to let you stay right where you are. He desires better things for you. He desires greater things for you. He desires for you to understand the love that he has for you, but he also wants you to imitate the love that he has for you. We'll get into that next week. But the one thing we've got to understand about love is love always has a confession. One of the main reasons I love working with kids is the honesty that I get. You know what I mean? You'll never get the amount of honesty that you get when you're working with kids. 2 years ago, we were working with pre-planning camp, and there's this little boy. Some of y'all may know him. His name was Liam. Liam, I love Liam. I got to coach him in baseball. He is just a good kid. He has his He has his ups and downs, but me and Liam are, and a couple other kids are down by the creek, and Liam says, let's see who can throw the rock the furthest. When I'm sitting there thinking, I think I can get to the other side of the creek. And I'm sitting there throwing everything I got. And Liam looks at me and he says, you know what? I bet you used to could throw that further. Part of me wanted to go, but part of me really understood what Liam was saying, because Liam, in his honesty, was trying to help me understand this. I'm limited. And as I get older, I'm even more limited. Somewhere down the road, we do not like to hear things like this because it understands just how much limit there is to our bodies, to our minds, to everything else. But a childlike honesty is something that we should never lose. You see, it's an honesty like a childlike honesty that really has no ill intent whatsoever. Liam, and what he said, was he right? Yes. Was he being gracious? Yes. Did it hurt? Dang right. But at the same time, there was no ill intent to it. No ill intent at all. You know, something that I've had to realize is we're not as good as we used to be. I know I'm not. And when I say that, I'm not talking about my behavior. I'm talking about this body. I'm talking about my mind. I'm talking about my health. I'm talking about my temper. I'm talking about all these things that with age seem to get worse. But I want you to look here real quick at verses 3 through 5 and see what it is that he says about a true childlike honesty that's something that we need. In verse 3, this is what he says. And all who have eager expectations will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Hang on now, because different translation reads it like this. It says that we have a fixed hope. What does it mean to have a fixed hope? A fixed hope means to have a need, a desperation of need towards something better than you. And the only way to really keep ourselves pure is not by doing things the right way. The real way for us to keep ourselves pure is through something that we call confession. Confession. True, honest, childlike confession. How many of you have ever come home from school or been the parent that was on the end of this and said something like this? Is there anything that you want to tell me? Anybody ever had that said? Anybody ever said that? As a child, when I would come home and my mom would say something like that to me, I want to first help you understand the rationale of why this question is such a bad question. Is there anything that you want to tell me? Well, my first rationale was, okay, she knows something. She knows that I did something, but I don't know which of the somethings it is. So when I would respond to my mom, no, there's nothing I want to tell you. I wasn't lying. I wasn't proclaiming to be innocent without guilt or anything. I was actually choosing the fifth. I was going to be silent for fear of incriminating myself on something else. I needed a little bit more clarification on what she was saying. As a child, I didn't understand this one concept when it comes to love. But as a parent, I'm starting to understand this a little bit more. I don't understand it completely, but I'm starting to understand it a little bit more about how much God loves us. When something like this happens to one of my boys, the first thing that I want them to do is to tell me. I'm not all-knowing like God is. I'm not everywhere like God is. But I have this thing called a cell phone with teachers' numbers in it, and they call me. I know before they know I know. So when I get home and I sit the boys down, I want them to simply be as honest and truthful with me as possible. Do you know why? Because when they're honest and truthful with me, my anger is eased. You know what I mean? If a child comes up to you and says, "Dad, I messed up. Mom, I'm sorry. I was at school. I did something I shouldn't have. I got sent to the principal's office. I am so sorry." If your child says that to you, are you as angry as you would have been when they say it, if they didn't tell you? No. Your anger is actually kindled. When we confess our sins to God, that is how we are purifying ourselves. And this isn't something that you do just once. And I think we miss out on this. We talked about this in small group not too long ago. Oh my gosh, we'll talk about that in a minute. We talked about this in small group not too long ago. How naive is it for us to think that we hide anything from God? Does God know what you did yesterday? Does God know what you did last year? Does God know what you did when you were 16 years old and you first got your driver's license? That's scary, isn't it? Does God know what you did when you turned 21? For some of us, does God know what you did when you turned 18? God knows everything. Why in the world do we ever think that we can hide anything from Him? Why do we think that there is areas of our life and our heart that are completely secret to Him and He has no idea of? You see, that's why confession is such an important part of our everyday believer's life. Daily, we should confess our sins. And James tells us, those who confess their sins, God is faithful to forgive them of their sins. And it's not like we're trying to appease God, because we're not. It's part of a relationship with Him, this koinonia that we have with Him, of being active in participation in a relationship with Him. He already knows. He already knows everything that I've done, just like I know what my boys have done at school. And there's no difference. He wants to hear from me just like I hear from them. And you know, most of the things that keep us from confessing things to God is because we think He's going to be angry at us. You know He's already forgiven you of your sin that you committed yesterday, right? You know that He's already forgiven you of your sin that you committed today, right? Do you understand that He's already committed or forgiven you of the sins that you're going to commit next year? And the year after that? And the year after that? And the year after that? As long as you live? The scripture is plain here. He has already forgiven you of everything that you have done. But that open dialogue and that open conversation with Him is something that needs to take place in our life. Because if that open conversation and dialogue does not take place in our life, this is what takes place. Everyone who sins is breaking the law, God's law. For all sin is contrary to God's law. And you know that Jesus came to take away your sins. What did He come to do? Take them away. You know how He takes them away? By the shed blood that he offered on the cross for us. That's how He takes these sins away. But anyone who continues to live in Him will not sin. So let's stop here for a minute. Does that mean that none of us will ever sin? No. No. And the danger of this scripture, reading it out of context, without that first part coming first, is you completely misunderstand this. Because so many times when we talk about people wondering why their relationship with God is kind of floundering, if you really get down to it, you will always get to this thing. I just think God's very disappointed in me. Why? Because of the life that I've been living. Okay? That's your shame. That's your guilt. That's what you have placed on your life. What has God done from you? God has removed that from you. And the only thing that you're living in is your continual shame and your continual guilt of what you did. And you know what happens if you continue to do that? Whatever brought on that shame and guilt? It's more shame. It's more guilt. And it's a cycle that keeps on going and keeps on going and keeps on going. And I've said this time and time again. If God can forgive you, why can you not forgive yourself? That is the one thing that's holding you back more than ever from experiencing the full love that God has for us. God has already told us how much he loved us, and he will love us that much even to the end. But he goes on to say, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you of this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. There is this big, There is this big topic that has been going around some social media platforms talking about the subject of judging. What is judging in God's standards? Do y'all know that? Do y'all know what it is? Is it pointing out somebody's sin? Is that judging? You see, when we're talking about judgment, we're talking about the final conviction of what God gives you. And God gives two convictions. There is either one conviction. One conviction that damns a person to hell, and the other one is a pardon. A pardon. And whenever you see the Bible talking about you should not judge, that's what it's talking about. Because notice what he says here. Because if you were to read this in some of today's context, you would say, ooh, they're judging here. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to who? Do you know how many social media platforms would say this is judging? Brothers and sisters, observation of life is not judgment. If you continue your life in the same sin over and over and over and over again, there is an issue. There is a big issue. Because the issue is this sin actually screams something different about you than you proclaiming Christ. It's like saying, that I'm on a diet and never losing a pound. It's like saying that I'm going to get myself healthier but never exercising one bit. This is the issue that we all battle with because of this programming inside of us that God has put in us that we are to be something better than what we are. He created us as his child. He created us to imitate him. He created us for his love and for his purpose. And you know, lately I've been thinking a lot about seeing Jesus face to face, and I don't know why. But I was listening to a pastor the other day explain this, and he said something that really rattled me. He said, have you ever thought about this? As much as you desire to see Jesus face to face, his word, his actions, his sacrifice screams to us that he's going to be happier to see us than we will be to see him. I can't understand how he loves me that much. I can't understand how he has loved me despite everything that I have done. I don't understand how he can love me when a majority of my life screamed, I hate you. I don't understand how he can love me when times of my life were used to completely undo his authority and will in mine. I don't understand how he can love me when it's been so hard for Scotty Gerard to even love himself. And I know some people will say, well, you shouldn't love yourself. No. The Bible says that you should love others as you love yourself. The Bible said, never says you shouldn't love yourself. But the biggest thing that I don't understand about it, think about this. Before you were created, he knew everything. He knew everything you would do. He knew every failure that you would have. He knew everything about you. And in that moment, man, he had a chance. He didn't have to create you. He didn't have to create me. But even knowing I would mess up, even knowing that I would reject him, even knowing that I would do all the things that I did in my life, he loved me so much that he made me anyway. And he didn't love me because of what I did. He loved me because of what he did. And that's where we really wrestle. You see, God's love isn't based on our character. It's based on his faithfulness. And one of the things that rattles my mind every year at Easter, I start thinking about it. Christ died for people to have the chance to surrender their lives to him, knowing that many wouldn't. You see, if I were to look at those odds and I were to look at those chances, I would say, you know, it's not 100% chance this is going to happen. So what's the point? Look around. Turn around. Turn around. Look at everybody. It's all right. Y'all look at each other. Some of y'all look better than others. Look around. Do you know what you see? Do you know what you see? You see the point. Because you're the point. You're the point. You're the point. You're the point. You are the reason Christ came and died for you. It's not about what you did. It's about what he did. And how much he loves us. And you know what? There's a good chance. Just like men, most of us will never understand why our wives are mad at us half the time. Most of us will never fully understand how much God truly loves us. But you know what? He does. Father, the love that you have for us, love as a child, is something that we really don't fully understand until we become fathers, until we become mothers. And Father, I want to thank you for allowing me to learn these lessons through my children and through my love for them. But at the same time, Lord, there's still struggles that I have. The struggles of doing what I should not do. The struggles of not living a life that reflects that which you created me to live. But Lord, I'm thankful for those scriptures that come to mind. Like Romans 5, where you tell us that even when we were enemies with you, that at the right time, you sent your son to die for us. Father, thank you for loving us when we didn't love you. Thank you for loving us when we didn't love ourselves. Thank you for loving us, God, when we felt like everything was so unlovable. Now this morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would stir in our hearts just to grasp the concept that you love me. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As they play and as we stand, I want to ask you two questions. First, I want to ask you, if this morning, if this is the first time that you've really understood how much God loved you, that he was willing to not even spare his own son, but to give his life so that you could experience the forgiveness of sins and become his child. If this morning, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to ask you to do me a favor. When they start singing, I'm going to be right here. I want you to come talk with me, because I want to share not only the love that God has for you, I want to share with you the love that God has for this whole world and what he desires to do in you and through you with this love that he's making your mind aware of this morning. So as they start singing, come right over here. For the rest of us, we all battle with this concept of being loved when we're so unlovable. So this morning, however you need to respond to God, whether you need to come down to this altar and just embrace it, whether you need to come down to this altar and you need to ask God to forgive you of some things, even though he's already done it, you just need to get it off your chest. Whatever you need to do, this altar's open. You can do it right where you are. But if you're willing and if you're able, this morning, bring your confession to the Lord, because he is faithful to forgive. As they sing, respond as you will. Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in his glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you, because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless. Whose blood can cleanse